Welcome to the podcast of Harvest Baptist Church in Harvest, Alabama. We invite you into our sanctuary as we dive into God's Word with our pastor, Dr. Al Pieringer.
I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 12. I'll read verses 35 through 48 here in just a moment. When I was growing up, I didn't have a lot of kids like around the neighborhood of my house, but there were a lot of kids around my grandma's neighborhood, and so I would go over there all the time and we'd play with those neighborhood kids. We'd hang out, you know, all day playing outside and until the evening time. One of the games we loved to play is hide and seek, but, you know, being outside, you know, you couldn't just hide anywhere. You had to set some boundaries because someone might be halfway across town and you're trying to seek them out, so you had to set some boundaries, but we loved playing that. And then, you know, I loved playing hide and seek with my kids when my kids grew up. Now, we didn't do it so much outside as we did inside. Strangely enough, you can find some interesting places to hide in the house. But yeah, I'm sure all of you have played hide and seek in some way, shape, or form, and you know how to play the game. You know, someone is it, they got to count to whatever number, and everybody else has to hide. And so once the person who's it gets to that number and they're done counting, they have to, you know, shout out, ready or not, here I come. I guess you just got to give everyone a heads up that, you know what, game on, it's on, I'm coming for you, or whatever. And if those who are hiding weren't ready, well, that's on them. They'd be easily caught. And so one way or another, ready or not, the person who was it was going to come. Now, being ready or not for a game isn't necessarily life-changing. I mean, okay, if you're not ready, you get caught and you have to be it. But there are some things in life that if you are ready or not, they're not only life-changing, they can be eternity-changing. Now, I've been going through various parables that Jesus taught, and through the parables that we're looking at today, Jesus sometimes bunches parables up together, but Jesus is teaching that, as you know, was mentioned in some of the songs that we sang, and Shante mentioned it, Jesus is returning someday. And when he does, he expects to find his disciples have been faithful. And so the point that Jesus makes in these parables is that all of Christ's disciples, and honestly, he's really warning everybody, we have to be spiritually ready for his return at all times. The holiness that was mentioned. So when we leave here today, I hope we leave here awakened from our spiritual slumber, because let's face it, the church is in a spiritual slumber. So I pray we awaken from that spiritual slumber so that Christ will find us faithful at his return. And then we pray that God would use us to go out there and get others ready for his return as well. And so I want to read verses 35 through 48 of Luke chapter 12 to stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy word. As I read this passage, Jesus says, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if a master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect." Peter said to him, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all?" And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just wake us up to this truth. Jesus is going to come. Are we ready? I pray, Lord, we will all be ready for that day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. There's just a couple of main points to consider with some minor points about them, but I just want to hit on the major points of what Jesus is teaching. And so the first thing that we want to consider is the return of the master. The return of the master. Now, you know, Jesus has done this before. He kind of takes a bunch of parables and mashes them all together, a bunch of different pictures, different parables and things like that, but they all have the same meaning. They're driving toward a point. And the main gist of the larger parables is that, okay, so here's this master. And the master has gone away for an extended period of time. And there's an understanding that this master is going to return. He's going to return to his home at some point. So, for example, in verse 36, the master went off to a wedding feast, and Jewish weddings could last for days, even weeks on end. And even though the master went off, there was this expectation, okay, he's going to return. And so the master then returned, and the question then becomes, are the servants ready for his return or not? Are they prepared for him to return? So obviously, the master is referring to Jesus in verse 40. He references himself. He talks about the Son of Man and the Son of Man coming again. So he's referring to his return, or as we more commonly call it, his second coming, or you may have heard the term parousia, which is a Greek word for coming. And so he's talking about his coming. He's coming back. Now, Jesus came a first time. Jesus was God's Son. He was born of the Virgin. He did his ministry. He died on the cross. He rose again, and he ascended into heaven. That was Jesus' first coming. But Jesus is coming back. He's going to return again. You know, the disciples, and then by extension to us, we were told when Jesus ascended, you know, the story, it says that an angel appeared to the disciples after Jesus went up in the clouds. And the angel said, why are you looking up there in the clouds? That this Jesus whom you saw go up, he's going to return in the same way that he left, which means that Jesus is going to return bodily and visibly. You're not going to miss it when Jesus returns. He's going to come. And everyone's going to see it this time. Now, I know when we talk about his coming and the end times and things like that, there's so many different views. And you got all these different views about the millennium and things that are going to happen before and things that are going to happen after. There's all sorts of debate about certain details. However, to anyone who is a Christian, a biblical Christian, there is one thing that we all agree on and we cannot deny. Jesus is returning, and he's returning bodily and visibly.
Amen.
He will return.
Amen.
Someday.
Amen.
Could be today. I'm all for that. I vote for today. Anyone else? Vote for today, but it's not up to us. Now, you know, the disciples are hearing this, and the disciples, they don't even know the full plan yet. They don't get it. There were times when Jesus, he had told them, okay, I'm going to go, and I'm going to get arrested, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise again. And they looked at him like, huh? What? They were a little slow on the uptake, and so they didn't fully understand Jesus' mission. And so they may not have been fully, you know, overly sure what he meant here as well, but you know what? We are blessed. We have a full canon of Scripture, and we can look back, and so we know what's going on. We have the fuller picture. We know exactly what he's referring to. The Son of Man is coming back. And in talking about his return, there's some principles that I think that would be good for us to know so we have an understanding about that. But then, you know, his return bears weight on our character. It bears weight on our action. It bears weight on our attitude. You know, and so we need to know about his return, and then so we know what it means to us. So just three quick principles about his return. One, it is certain. It is certain. Now, in the first section of the parables, I mean, it's just a foregone conclusion that the master, yeah, he went off to the wedding feast, but he's going to come back. He's going to return, and so the servants need to be ready. And then in the last part of the parables, there's servants. He says, they have this thing, there's this guy, he has this mistaken notion that, well, you know what, my master has delayed his coming, and so he's probably not coming back, and so I'm just going to live it up. Eat, drink, be merry, and the whole thing, because he's probably not coming back. And Jesus says, boy, that's a big mistake. No, it is certain the master is coming back, and he began to shadow of a doubt the master is coming back. But, you know, here we are 2,000 years later, after the events of Jesus' first coming, and we're still waiting. And that might discourage some people that, well, is he really coming back? I mean, you know, some people might be discouraged thinking, well, he's never going to return. He hasn't returned already. After all that's happened in this 2,000 years, boy, he might not ever come back. But we can hold on to this hope. You know, because Jesus says, he promises that he will. It's a 100% guarantee. Jesus doesn't go back on his promises. I think of the promises that he gave in John chapter 14, and where in verses 1 through 3, you know, he's telling his disciples, look, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God or trust in God, and then believe also in me or trust also in me. Because in my Father's house are many rooms, or the King James, many mansions. If it were not so, what have I told you? Would I have told you I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. Jesus said, I'm going to come again and I'm going to bring you to myself. So it is a certainty that Jesus is coming back again. Don't let this 2,000-year-plus wait discourage you from that. But Jesus also testified about his return, another principle, and it is unannounced. It is unannounced, and what I mean by that is that Jesus is going to come at a time when people are not expecting it. Things on earth are just going to be going along, everyone's going to be doing their thing, and then all of a sudden, boom, here's Jesus. He has returned. Now, in another passage in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus likened his return to the days of Noah. And he said in verses 30 and 39, for in those days, Noah's days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. So world, everything was going on as normal, and Noah was building his ark, and everyone was making fun of Noah, looking to make that big boat in the middle of the land. What kind of fool is Noah? And, you know, things are going on. They're eating, drinking, marrying, getting, you know, being given in marriage. Life is just going on as normal. All of a sudden, started raining. And then all of a sudden, you know, because the description given in Genesis, water started gushing up out of the earth too, and boom, there's the flood. Jesus says it's going to be the same way when at his return. I mean, things are just going to be going on as normal. Boom, all of a sudden, here's Jesus. He's there. You know, there's going to be a lot of waiting. In the first part of the parable, the servants are waiting and waiting and waiting, but at least they're ready. You know, they're ready for the master's return. But they don't know when. They're like, we don't know. In verse 38, you know, Jesus says it could be the second watch. It could be the third watch of the night. I mean, that's the middle of the night, you know, 2 a.m. or something like that. When most people are sleeping, you don't expect a whole lot to go on at 2 a.m. But he says, you know what, servants, you be ready. You be awake. Because the master might return at that time. And then Jesus gives this parable within a parable. He talks about the master of a house who, you know, if a master of the house knew that a robber was coming, he would do everything that he could to prevent the robber from coming. But the problem is, and the point of that parable within the parable is, you don't know when a robber is coming. A good robber doesn't, not saying you want to be a good robber, by the way, but I'm saying, don't be a good robber. But if someone was a good robber, they wouldn't go around announcing that they're going to rob. Yeah, I just want to let you know, and I don't know why he's British, but I just want to let you know, I'm going to rob your house tonight. All right, mate, see you later. May have gone into Australia. But you know, the robber's not going to come and knock on your door and say, hey, I'm going to rob your house. I mean, a robber just comes and does the robber thing. So it is going to be with Christ's return. There's not going to be an announcement. It's going to happen like a thief, a robber in the night. I mean, just, it's there. I mean, Paul testified to this in 1 Thessalonians 5:2. He said, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And Jesus himself said in Revelation 16:15, behold, I'm coming like a thief. Just boom, I'm there. Things are going on just as normal. Boom, Christ returns. Now, the theological term for this, if you want a big fancy theological term, is the imminence of Christ's return. I-M-M-I-N-E-N-C-E-M-O-U-S-E. So, anyway, it's the imminence of Christ's return. That means that Christ could return at any moment, and there's nothing that has to happen before his return. You know, I know there's some viewpoints of the last days that say, well, no, before Christ returns, this has to happen, then this has to happen, then this has to happen, and then this has to happen. But that's not the testimony of Christ, and that's not the testimony of Scripture. Nothing has to happen before Christ's return. It's going to come without any sort of announcement. You're just living your normal life, and then, boom, here he is. But then there's something else that Jesus teaches about his return, and that is, it is revealing. It is revealing, and what I mean by that is Christ's return is going to reveal whether someone is a true believer or not. Christ's return, you know, you're going to get rewarded accordingly. If you're a true believer, you'll get rewarded. If you're not a believer, you're going to get, well, rewarded in the wrong way. You know, Jesus says that verse 37. He says that those who are truly his servants, those who are ready for his coming, they're going to be rewarded, and he describes it as the master actually serving the servants. And this is a reference to the messianic banquet, the marriage supper of the Lamb, that's going to happen. You know, when Christ returns, and then finally, you know, new heavens and new earth and everything, Christ is going to put on a banquet for all his people. And so that's kind of what it's referencing. So there's going to be a celebration for everyone who's going to be in his presence forever. His returning is going to reveal who belongs to him. But then there's the flip side of this in verses 45 through 48. There's those who claim to be his servants, but they reveal themselves not to be his servants. I mean, Jesus says that those who claim to be a servant, but they're not really a servant, they're going to get their punishment. If they, you know, if they willfully, with intent, I mean, sin and just kind of an in-your-face kind of thing, they're going to receive a larger punishment. Those who maybe not so willfully and not with so much intent, they're still going to be punished, but maybe with a lighter punishment. But either way, false servants are going to be punished. So the true servants of Christ are going to be rewarded. Those who are not the servants of Christ are going to be punished. And that should be just a sobering thought, something that wakes us up, because not everyone who claims to be a Christian is a Christian. Not everyone who says they love Jesus actually loves Jesus. Not everyone who serves in the church actually serves Christ. They're not really his servants. And it's going to be the day of his return that reveals the truth. So the master is returning. I mean, it's a certainty that he's going to return the day or the hour of his return. Nobody knows except the Father. Don't listen to all them kooks out there saying, well, I figured it out in the year 2027. There's going to be this blood moon, and this is going to align with this. And so Christ is going to return then. No. Nobody knows the day of his return. Not even you. Well, but this is going to... No. Doesn't matter what aligns with what. Nobody knows the day of his return. It's going to be unannounced. He's just going to come. The question is, are you ready? When he returns, he's going to reveal the hearts of men and women. And the truth is going to become abundantly clear. So you have the fact of the Master's return. Now Jesus then, so he's shining on that. Then he takes the parables then to put kind of a mirror toward us. And so the second major part of this is he talks about the responsibility of the servant. He talks about the responsibility of the servant. So he's using these parables to warn everyone who's listening. Okay, Jesus is the Master. He's going to go away for a while, but he's going to return. And when he returns, the servants ought to be doing what the servants ought to be doing. Jesus is giving everyone a fair warning here. Look, I am coming back. That's a certainty. I'm coming at a time that you don't know. And so you need to be ready at all times. At all times, be ready. Fulfill your responsibilities as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And now, there's certain aspects of the readiness of the servant, the responsibility of the servant, that the parable touches on. And so first, it tells us to be watchful. To be watchful. Jesus uses various terms in these parables that warn the disciples. I mean, he's really warning everybody, but, you know, it's the disciples who are listening. Always be on alert. Always be ready. Always be prepared and watch expectantly for the Master's return. Because you don't know when it's going to happen, so just always be ready. And be alert. Be watchful. Don't be sleeping. Be ready. You know, he says in verses 35 and 36, stay dressed for action. Keep your lamps burning. Be like men who are waiting on the Master so that when he comes home, they can go straight into serving him. In verse 37, Jesus says that the servant who remains awake is blessed. The servant who has prepared himself and is ready and is actively looking for the return of the Master, they are blessed. You got to be watchful. It's talking about spiritual readiness. I mean, it's not talking about going to your window every 5 seconds and looking out the window. Has he come back yet? It's talking about spiritual readiness, holiness that he talked about. I mean, first, you need to clothe yourself with Christ. I mean, that means you got to come to faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. You believe he died for you. You believe he rose again. You believe he is the Messiah. He is the Lord. And you believe on that, but it doesn't stop there, because after you clothe yourself with Christ for salvation, then you clothe yourself with holiness and righteousness. You build Christian character through the spiritual disciplines, Bible study, Bible meditation, Bible memorization, prayer, and all the spiritual disciplines, because you want to be ready, you want to be on alert, because Christ is coming, but it doesn't stop at being watchful. Jesus, secondly, also wants his servants to be active. He wants his servants to be active. A servant who is ready for the Master to return is not passive, is not just sitting around doing nothing. A servant who's ready for the Master isn't just kind of biding their time. And, you know, I fear that there's certain end time views that kind of lend themselves to this attitude of, man, the world stinks, and I hate the world, so I'm just going to sit back, kind of be my own little holy huddle here, and I'm just going to let life pass me by so I can get to heaven. You know, I'm saved, and so all I want to do is get to heaven and, you know, nothing else. Let's just hold on for the ride. But that's not the attitude Christ wants from his servants before he comes back. In the second half of the parables, you know, the servants are supposed to be ready. But the servants are likened to managers, to stewards of the house, someone who's been put in charge of things while the Master is away. And according to verse 43, I mean, the Master expects the steward to be doing stuff. There's an expectation that the steward will be representing the Master while he's away. According to verse 42, this steward, this manager, this servant is supposed to be serving the people in the master's name while he's away. And when the master returns, he expects to find that servant, that steward, that manager, obedient and at work doing stuff when he returns. But then a warning is given to those who aren't doing the expected work that the master has for them. That, you know, they're being lazy, they're living for themselves, they're living for the world. Hey, my master's delayed his coming. Let me just eat, drink, and party all the time. I guess they're kind of living out that old cliche that when the cat's away, the mice will play. Master's not here. Party time. The master's not here. He isn't looking over my shoulder, see what I'm doing. I can do what I want. That's the steward, that's the servant that's going to be punished. The one who isn't doing the work of the master is going to be punished. And so there's an expectation that this steward, manager, servant, disciple is going to be working. The question is, okay, if Christ were to return today, would he find us serving him with wild abandon? Or would he find us to be more akin to the cliche of the person who is sitting on the couch eating bonbons, watching TV all day? The spiritual equivalent of that, whatever the spiritual equivalent of that is, just doing nothing, sitting around doing nothing. And so readiness, fulfilling our responsibility as a disciple, means that we are active for the Lord. As long as you have breath, you can be active for the Lord. Yeah, your physical problems might kind of hinder you from doing one thing, but it doesn't mean there's other things you could be doing. You could be serving the Lord in some way, shape, or form for his kingdom purposes. When he returns, will he find you doing so? But not only are we to be watchful and to be active, then we are to be faithful. We are to be faithful. At the end of verse 48 is something that I think we all need to reflect on. Because in some way, shape, or form, we are all blessed, physically, spiritually, and in every way. And Christ says this to all of us who have been so blessed. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. You have been given much by way of spiritual gifts. You've been given much by way of resources. You have been given much just being in the land we are with the freedoms we have. And so you have been given much. Much is required of you. Because you have been entrusted with much, much is expected of you. Much is demanded. He uses the word demand. With everything you've been given, Jesus demands that you honor him with it. That you are faithful with what it is that he has given to you. You know, be it the gifts and talents that you are given through the Holy Spirit to serve him. I mean, in a sense, every Christian is entrusted with much, and so much is expected of the Christian. And so the question we got to ask ourselves, am I being or will I be faithful with what it is that God has given me? Are you using your gifts and resources, talents, and everything else for kingdom work? Are you using your time, your money, your resources to minister in his name? Are you active in the body of Christ and the church serving his people, and are you making his name great? To whom much is given, much is required. To whom much is entrusted, it will be demanded even the more of them. There's this expectation that God gave you what you got, and so do something with it while you're here on this earth. He entrusted you with much. He's demanding more. Because when he returns, I mean, that's it. As far as, you know, this whole earthly thing and being rewarded or, you know, punished if you're not in Christ, for what goes on this earth, when he returns, I mean, that's it. Then you go into eternity. And so the question we got to ask ourselves about being faithful is when he returns, will he be able to look us in the eye and say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Or will it be more like a, well, I'd rather go for the well done, my good and faithful servant. So are you ready? Are you prepared for him to come back? I remember when we first moved here 4 years ago, and I knew the history of tornadoes and storms and whatnot that in the area. But there was this one day that, you know, they predicted, okay, there's going to be storms and there might be tornadoes in the evening. So late morning, early afternoon, I went to visit one of our church members, and they asked me, do you have a storm plan? Now, I just came from Mississippi, and we didn't, not that we didn't have tornadoes and stuff, I mean, we did, but I mean, you didn't, I guess we just weren't as devastated as y'all had been here in the past. So I kind of looked at her and said, do I have a what now? Do I have a what? Do you have a storm plan? Are you ready for the storm that is coming? Do you know where you're going to go if a tornado is going to be heading your way? Are you going to a shelter? Do you know, are your bags packed and ready to go to the shelter? And on and on. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm not as ready for storms as I thought I was. I mean, I just figured a storm's coming, you hunker down and you just pray for the best. But around here, you need a storm plan, because storms will come at a time you don't even know. I mean, we were here having a Wednesday night service. I'm ready for my Bible study, and all of a sudden, everyone's phone is blowing up, and it's saying, well, there was a tornado that touched down in Limestone County. Where did that come from? We're having dinner, we're singing, we're about to have some Bible study, and all of a sudden, boom, there's a storm. We were kind of ready. I mean, we knew what to do then. Maybe the question for us to kind of tie that in is, do you have a second coming plan? Do you have a parousia plan? Are you ready for Christ to return? I mean, he can come back at any time. So Christian, are you actively and faithfully serving the Lord, using what God has given you in the face of his imminent return? But maybe we got to ask some of you the question, are you spiritually ready for him to return? Have you trusted in Christ for salvation? Are you prepared? Because guess what? Ready or not, here he comes.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of Harvest Baptist Church. For more information, visit us online at harvest-baptist.org or find us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. You can also find info on our children's ministry on Facebook at Harvest Baptist Children's Ministry or on Instagram at kidsquest_HBC. Our student ministries on Facebook at HBC Vertical Student Ministry and on Instagram at VSM_HBC. We welcome you to join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. We are located at 8999 Waltrana Highway in Harvest, Alabama. Thanks for listening, and God bless.